Imagine a young boy so brave that he walks up to Yama, the lord of death, and demands the answers to the question of death and the nature of death itself. Now, there is a fascinating story in the ancient Upanishads about a young boy named Nachiketa who visits the lord of death and begins his inquiry. He asks a direct question to Yama: what happens after death? That's what we will find out today. We will find answers to the question that haunts us in the hospital waiting rooms and in our midnight anxieties. Is death really the end? What if I lose everything that I am? And how can I get rid of fear forever? How can I transcend all fears, including the root fear of death, forever? These are not any ordinary questions. They are the deepest human fears that have haunted us since the beginning of time. And here is what most people don't realize. This fear is not a weakness. It is a profound invitation for us to discover the truth about life and who we are in our essence. And by the end of the video, I will reveal a radical perspective that will change your perspective on death forever. A perspective that is rooted in the ancient wisdom, which was known by the ancient rishis for thousands of years, but has been hidden from the mainstream understanding. So make sure to watch this video till the end to uncover the true secret of death and to discover how you can transcend the fear of death forever. Let's start with part one, which is the prison. That is the fear of death. Imagine waking up in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. and fearing about what happens if I cease to exist. What happens if I die? Now, each and every one of us who are here, who is watching this, will have gone through the fear of death one time or another. Modern psychology suggests that all fears are rooted in the fundamental fear of death. From our earliest evolutionary history, our brains developed an intricate warning system designed with one primary goal, that is to keep us alive. This survival mechanism served our ancestors well, triggering the fight or flight response when predators attacked us or when other dangers threatened. The fear of death became our brain's ultimate protective function, a biological mechanism encoded into our very cells. But what has happened is, in this modern world, our brain and this survival mechanism that is built into us because of the process of evolution is no longer working in our favor. In this modern world, there are no predators in general who are waiting to kill us. But still, our brain and our survival mechanism is behaving in the same ancient way. Our brains operate like outdated security systems, still sounding alarms for threats that no longer exist. Our programming and the survival mechanism creates disproportionate responses for anything and everything. Almost everything affects us and it causes anxiety within us. If someone says something bad about us, that causes anxiety within us. If someone doesn't behave the way we wish them to behave, that causes stress within us. So this survival mechanism has begun to work against us instead of for us. I remember in my childhood, I once watched a horror movie and this experience traumatized me and I was so disturbed by it that for almost a week, I could not sleep properly. I began waking up at the middle of the night, seeing here and there and being afraid of even the smallest little sound. So what was supposed to be entertainment caused immense suffering and stress in my life when I was young. When I look back at this experience, I can understand what was happening and why my system, why my biology was reacting in that way. That fear for me stemmed from the fear of death. Almost all fears, like I said, stems from the fear of death. This death anxiety manifests in our behaviors in subtle ways. When you repeatedly put off important work, it may be death anxiety manifesting as procrastination, a subconscious belief that long-term efforts ultimately do not matter given our finite existence. And another very common trait is the inability to fully engage with the present moment, always planning, worrying, or overthinking about the future. This stems from a mind preoccupied with its own impermanence. Now, the psychological impact of all this runs very deep. The death anxiety and the fear of death can cause many mental health issues. Obsessive compulsive patterns frequently revolve around rituals designed to create an illusion of control over the uncontrollable, including the mortality itself. Even depression and eating disorders sometimes are traced back to the fear of death. This fear creates a self-reinforcing cycle. By identifying ourselves exclusively with our physical bodies, with built-in expiration dates, we construct a reality where death is inevitable. And each birthday becomes a pointer of time passing and of us going closer and closer to that inevitable point of death. So begin to see what is happening here. First of all, we have assumed that we are the body. And we have become the body because of the strong identification. And since the body is mortal and since the body has an expiration date, we identify with that expiration date and think that we will cease to exist at that point in time. Now, we have not verified this assumption. We have not inquired upon it. We have not researched on it in great detail. But we have assumed it. We have assumed that we are the body and we will die one day and we will cease to exist. And this uncertainty of what will happen and this fear of mortality is causing suffering within us. And in our deepest attempt to overcome death and somehow avoid death, we stop living in the present. We stop enjoying different things. We stop doing things that truly inspires us, truly motivates us, and truly brings us closer to that presence. We work hard, we struggle, we save money, you know, we invest to create a false sense of permanence. We obsess over money, health regimes, and safety measures, sacrificing the present joy for an illusion of future security. But yet, throughout history, the ancient wisdom of Vedanta has given us a profound perspective on the nature of reality and the nature of death. Vedanta asks us, what if the fear of death that you are so encapsulated by and that you are so identified with is simply because of a fundamental misidentification of who you truly are? Vedanta asks us, have you ever inquired who you are? Have you inquired the nature of the body, the nature of the mind, and the nature of consciousness? Or have you simply assumed that you are the body because of your conditioning or because of your unconscious identity? What if the part of us that fears death is not actually who we truly are? Now, this question takes us to the depth of Vedanta. And it begins to open up for us the truth about existence. Now, if you have ever played a video game, sometimes what happens is we are so immersed in the game, we are so involved with the game, and we are so attached to the character within the game that we begin to experience the game as though it is real. When we level up within the game, we actually feel happy. We genuinely experience that temporary happiness. When we get points in the game, we get that sense of excitement. And when we are about to face an obstacle within the game, we actually experience fear. And at some point, when inevitably the point of death comes to that character within the game, we are actually scared because we identify ourselves with that character within the game. Now, what if the same thing has happened for us even in real life? What if we are something which has identified itself with the body-mind and experiencing this game of life and Now, since it is so involved and immersed in the game, it has simply forgot who it truly is, who it truly was, and is now fearing its illusory death. With this, let's come to the next part, that is the eternal witness. Beyond the psychological reframing of death lies an even more revolutionary proposition from Vedantic wisdom. The true essence of you, who is watching this video right now and who is listening to these words right now, is the consciousness itself. Vedanta offers a radical perspective. It states that you are not the body, you are not the mind, you are not even the thoughts. You are something that is far more profound, a reality that is beyond time, space, forms, and all limitations, that which was never born and that which will never die. This infinite, boundless consciousness that the Upanishads calls Brahman is temporarily experiencing this body in this limited expression that we call the universe. And this is just like a game that we are playing, which will be over soon. But the essence of us, who we truly are, was never here and will never die. This extraordinary claim can be traced back to Bhagavad Gita itself, one of the most revered texts in the Vedantic tradition. In chapter 2, verse 24, Sri Krishna says about the Atman, or the true self of all of us. The Atman cannot be cut, cannot be burnt, cannot be wetted, and also cannot be dried up. It is eternal, all-pervading, firm, immovable, and ancient. Here, Sri Krishna addresses all five elements, the five fundamental elements or panchabhutas that makes up our physical bodies. And Krishna says that we are beyond all this and we are eternal, permanent, and ancient. The Atman transcends earth. It cannot be cut. It transcends water. It cannot be wetted. It transcends fire. Cannot be burnt. It transcends air. It cannot be dried. And it transcends space or ether. Like a lighthouse standing unmoved through countless storms and seasons, the Atman remains unaffected while the elements around it constantly change. This fundamental distinction that Krishna gives shows us the difference between the physical reality, the physical dimension of matter, and the nature of consciousness, which we truly are, even here and now. Unlike the body, the Atman is not a composite entity. It was not created by putting together different things. It was not manufactured, so it neither can break down. It is simply the essence, the existence, the consciousness itself, which was there even before the universe appeared in it. Vedanta describes the self as nitya, eternal, sarvagata, all-pervading, sthanu, firm, achala, immovable, and sanatana, primordial, each descriptor pointing to existence beyond physical limitations. The great Swami Vivekananda described Atman in this way. He said, "Soul is not bound by the conditions of matter. In its very essence, it is free, unbounded, holy, pure, and perfect." And not only this, we must look at death and we must understand reality at various dimensions. We until now understood the sthula sharira, the physical body, and the fear of death is primarily associated with the physical body. Now let's understand sukshma sharira or the subtle body. Bhagavad Gita 2nd chapter's 22nd verse says, "Just as a person casts off worn out garments and puts on new ones, so does the embodied self cast off worn out bodies and enters others that are new." This comparison transforms our understanding of death from an end to a transition, a change of garment rather than an annihilation of the wearer. Now here we need to understand the three bodies that are associated with each of us and the Atman that is beyond all this. This framework is known as Sharira Traya Viveka in Vedanta. At first, there is the physical body, which you can see and touch and feel, which dies, which comes to an end at the end of our life. And this body is burnt or buried, But then we move on. That dimension of us, that aspect of us, which moves on to the next physical body, is called the subtle body or sukshma sharira. This is nothing but the mind along with prana that moves on to the next physical body. So forget about our Atman, our true self, not having death. Even the ego and the sukshma sharira does not die when the body dies. We simply move on to the next experience and to the next body. This is as per Bhagavad Gita. Now, when we believe that we are the physical body, its dissolution becomes our extinction and we fear it. And if we think that we are the mind, even then we are afraid because the mind is limited and it is not eternal. But as per Vedanta, we are not the physical body, the sthula sharira, or the subtle body, the sukshma sharira, or the karana sharira, or the causal body, which holds a deep seed of ignorance and identification because of which we are experiencing this individual perspective. But beyond all this, we are the Atman, the pure consciousness, the pure existence, and this is where there is absolute peace, fulfillment, and joy, and this is where there is absolute liberation from fear forever. While thoughts, emotions, and physical conditions transform, the awareness, the presence, the witness, perceiving them and witnessing them remains constant. So this is the profound truth of Vedanta. The real us, the real self, the real Atman is the eternal witness to everything. It is the eternal witness to all experiences, all happening, and it is the eternal witness to this universe itself. This completely reverses the traditional understanding of who we are. Rather than being a physical entity possessing consciousness, we are consciousness itself, temporarily experiencing the body. We are not the car, but the driver. Bhagavad Gita clearly says, we were never born and we never die. Birth and death apply only to the physical body, to the vehicle, not to the consciousness. Now let's come to the final part, that is the illusion of separation. Now just think about what is happening to you as you are watching this video. As you are watching this video, different cells within you are regenerating and are dying. So much in your physical body has changed just in the last few minutes, and the environment around you has changed. Nothing remains same in this physical world. But yet, something within you which was the witness, which is the witness, and which will be the witness, continues to be the same. That witness of this video, the witness of my words, is that same witness which was there a few minutes ago, and this will continue to be the same for eternity. So Vedanta says, you are not the body nor the mind, but this eternal witness itself. And if you think about it, this witness has remained constant throughout your life. When you were young, when you went to school, this witness was there. When you got married, this witness was there. And when you will eventually die as the physical body, this witness will continue.